The opinions expressed on the ACB Media Network are those of the content providers and should not be viewed as an endorsement of any product or service. Nor does it reflect the views of the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
Welcome, everybody, to this is AAVL and Saucy, and we're going to learn about what's happening with Helen Keller. And this is April 22nd, and thank you, everybody, for the interpreters and Janae, and everybody who is participating, and thank you to Rick also. And let's get this party started. So first, I want Janae to talk about what's happening with 55 and older programs at Helen Keller Deaf and Blind and Deaf Institute.
National Center for Deaf, Blind, Youth, and Adults.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Janae,
okay,
can you?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Yes, this is Janae. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak here about older adults at the Helen Keller National Center. The Helen Keller National Center is a nationally federally funded program that provides rehabilitation services to individuals who experience vision loss, hearing loss, from youth all the way to older adults. So a wide range of ages. And we basically like a rehabilitation facility where we provide a variety of services to accommodate and tailor to individuals' needs to sustain individual independence in a variety of environments of their choosing. Okay. Job services, independent living services, and assistive technology services, as well as communication services, are amongst the variety of services we provide. And at Helen Keller National Center, we understand that vision loss and hearing loss are really a wide range of experience, and it can range from mild all the way to much more severe or profound. And for mild vision loss to fully blind, so that each individual is going to have a variety of different permutations of vision loss and hearing loss, and so our services are really individual tailored to each person's needs so they can sustain independence. Were you interrupting me to stop? Hello?
Yes.
Should I continue?
Yes, go right ahead. Yes, you're doing good.
Oh, okay, sure. I wasn't sure if you were interrupting me.
Go ahead. No.
Okay, thank you so much.
Older adults and the population of older adults are very much underserved. A recent study that was done by the American Community Survey and that we collaborated with the National Institute of Health, and we did a very wide-ranging survey and found a large percentage of adults of 55 and older are already experiencing both vision and hearing loss. And that's quite a percentage. We're having 13 to 14%.
Three or four percent.
Of young people who experience both vision and hearing loss compared to 80% of people who are 55 and older who experience vision and hearing loss to some degree. So we're seeing a large number and a large increase over time, which means that age is definitely a factor and a very big reason why people experience vision and hearing loss, and that happens. Much of it is age related. So this population of people who were both have experienced vision and hearing loss already are also an aging population themselves. So we have older adult programs where we provide a variety of services.
The first service we provide is training. And the training is for people who are professionals working with older adults overall, like healthcare professionals and providers, caregivers, interpreters, even. So we provide a variety of trainings there, including nursing homes and assisted living and retirement communities. So this is a variety of kind of trainings that we provide. We also provide resources that we share. Often we'll get emails from people. For example, we had a woman recently contact us saying that her mother recently had lost her hearing and vision and wasn't sure the best way that she could support her. So we get these kind of questions regularly. So we typically then will call a meeting with the family to ask about services that the family might already be receiving and what additional resources could be needed. We have 11 regional representatives across the country. So we will often connect people with representatives that are close by so that they can have resources shared with them that are particular to their locale. And really one of our main goals is to share different services and resources that are available to people in their individual areas. An additional service that we provide is coordination program that's called Confident Living Program. I'll actually expand a little bit more on that toward the end of the presentation. And this is the CLP program. And what we'll do is have a meeting on Zoom where they can come to our headquarters, which is in Long Island, New York. So there are a variety of different ways to have a CLP, but I'll actually talk about that toward the end of my presentation. But we recognize that people in nursing homes, assisted living, and retirement communities have been contacting us how they can best serve their current population and their residents who are experiencing vision and hearing loss. Last year, I went to Louisiana and visited a nursing home there. They have about 10 senior citizens with both hearing and vision loss to varying extents. And unfortunately, with nursing home and assisted living environments, there's a lot of high turnover in staff, which unfortunately means that residents who live there are often lost in terms of communication, and they are not necessarily sure who's even working with them. So that, and once someone is trained, they might leave. So that is a very big barrier for people to receiving appropriate care who have these double disabilities. We'll have training for staff. And at this particular training, it was a 2-day event where we trained about 50 staff who work in a variety of different shifts. We had our staff set up a variety of booths. We wanted to see which barriers needed to be addressed first, what staff was missing for their training, and then develop a training plan. And we saw that the biggest area of concern was communication. So we had one booth that was devoted to communication. We had another devoted to assistive technology. And another one to orientation and mobility. At the communication booth, we provided a simulation goggles, as well as earplugs. And we asked each staff person to put on the goggles and put on earplugs. And the goggles represented different forms of vision loss. And they would have another staff person stand next to them and asked about how well they could hear them and how they had to have somebody orient themselves differently to be able to communicate effectively. We talked about sign language, how to get someone's attention if they can't see you, and different methods of communication using sign language. So that was one booth that we had for this training. We had another booth where we had a demonstration of different assistive technologies to staff, different ways that they can be able to communicate with residents. Even if they don't know sign language, there are different tools that they could use. For example, email, texting, and we demonstrated how you can actually have a two-way conversation with the residents. The last station, or the last booth, was about orientation and mobility, how to guide someone when walking with them from point A to point B. So, for example, unfortunately, it's often common that people will often grab someone's arm when they're trying to guide them without telling them even where they're going or that they're being led someplace. So we train people on how to appropriately communicate before be guiding someone. There we had 80% of the staff who responded that this was a very beneficial training and very effective. And my hope is that we'll be able to continue to provide these similar trainings to nursing homes throughout the United States, who also happen to have a high percentage of residents who have both hearing and vision loss. So this is one example of a nursing home training that I provided. I've also provided some consulting to nursing homes. They might have one resident with some hearing loss, but depending on how they're being communicated with, they might be able to hear in certain settings. So I provided them with some tips where they could improve their communication between the resident and the staff. So every situation is different and every set of needs is different, and we recognize that there is an increased need for training. That pretty sums up the work that I do with the nursing homes. We also provide training to professionals who work with people with vision and hearing loss, for example, healthcare providers.
Can I interrupt for a minute and can we go to questions so far? Can we do that?
Oh, if you wouldn't mind to hold some questions
Okay,
because I
yeah.
do have a few more.
No problem. Yeah. Thank
I
you,
do have a
Kate.
few more points I just wanted to get through. Thank you very much. Training for caregivers, as well as sign language interpreters who want to work with people who have low vision, and how to best work with deafblind populations. So that sums up our older adult services, where we share information and resources, provide education and training, as well as coordinate programs. For us to better serve older adults, we really want to identify their current needs and whether or not our current programs and service offerings would be enough. So I developed a needs assessment survey, and that is what I'm going to talk about a little bit more, to be able to assess the needs of the community and how we can best suit our services to provide them. So I'm going to open up my tablet right now that has all of my notes, if you just give me just a moment. Just checking in with the interpreter as well. And we're going to switch the interpreting.
Okay, thank you.
The purpose of the survey was to identify current needs of older adults. On a national scale, the intention was to identify their needs. There were many questions included, such as communication, mobility, assistive technology, independent living, current services received, current barriers, many different questions of that type on the survey. The outcomes we had hoped from the survey would tell us results that could be shared to national organizations, because we had asked for, who had asked for collaboration. And many eco-grants are based on data compiled about services and those ever-expanding populations. Also,
although what?
Also, to figure out the what kind of a tailored outcome, a tailored plan based on that survey. So we would confront all of the issues that we found. Those were the intended outcomes. Now, are you ready for the numbers? Here are the numbers. ...344 folks filled out the survey. That was a big response. We did receive over 400, but they were partially filled out, which means, unfortunately, they could not be included. But 344 individuals did complete the survey. This 45 states... We feel like that was a very good representation of the nation to have 45 states participate. So about 60% female and 39% male and 1% non-binary or other. The individuals were asked about their severity of hearing loss, whether they were deaf, profoundly deaf, or hard of hearing. The respondents were able to respond from mild to moderate hearing loss. 36% of them did. Moderate to severe, 30%. And severely to profound, 25%. That tells me that most of those folks are from the mild to moderate hearing loss range. And that is a large representation. We asked about the severity of various vision loss. The response of those who say they are legally blind was 52%. 22% completely blind. And 23% low vision. So most of them were legally blind. Most of the respondents are legally blind. We asked about their preferred methods of communication. Many of them preferred to speak. 61% preferred their own speech. And only about 4% signed. A very small percentage responded that they use both sign language and spoken English. So again, most of these adults are mild to moderately hearing impaired with low vision who speak. That is a large contingency of the older population, and that seems absolutely apropos. In the age range, most respondents were between 55 to 75, 80%, with a very small number of 75-year-olds and beyond responding. When asked about their living situations, most said they lived with a husband or wife or family or a caregiver. 45% with few living in a nursing home. Hold on one second. There's something I missed. I'm sorry. I've lost my place here. One moment. And 45% who lived alone, which means that most people live with some kind of family, and then the rest of them live alone, and few respondents live in nursing homes. So now, the top area where we saw need, the need of supportive services, SSPs, to help with daily activity and daily life. The same idea as to a PCA, but this is for SSP. And also reliable transportation. That also with support for feeling lonely and isolated, the need for communication access, and training in deafblind for those professionals who work with them, the need for more training for the professionals who work with them, and other considerations as well, such as mobility, assistive technology training, independent living training. Those things are certainly still needed. So that's pretty much gives you the base of the survey. And once we take that and look at the challenges of aging, we see this large group of folks who miss information. They're unable to drive any longer. They struggle with technology, with learning to use new technology. Their fine motor skills have diminished, and feeling isolated and lonely. They need help with food shopping, those kinds of things. This age group seems to be going through for these groups, the groups struggle with adapting to change as they age. Got it. In this age range, they struggle to adapt to all of these challenges. Especially challenges associated with vision and hearing loss and traveling independently. There needs to be more mobility training. Those who have difficult problems with balance or are dizzy easy need support. It's hard sometimes to communicate if they don't have information and are not getting interpreters. For those who use sign language, who are then losing their vision, it's more difficult for them to use video phones. It becomes more difficult for them to see the interpreter on the screen, which is a challenge. Most of them don't want to read lips. Many of them are colorblind. There needs to be more training with assistive technology, including screen readers. For various adaptability for computers, there needs to be much more training for that. And zero interpreting services. Everyone is short-staffed with interpreters. And that pretty much does it. I'll give you some quotes from the older adults who filled out the survey to share in general some of the things they said. Because I'm deaf, I'm always left out. There's no one to tell me what's going on. Another person said, the state agency for the blind thinks I'm not blind enough. The state agency for the deaf thinks I'm not deaf enough. I have barriers to getting services because I'm not enough. Another quote. I get judged by my service providers. They look down on me because I'm visually impaired and have hearing loss. Often the availability of services are changed because of the lack of continuity in the staff, like my food shopping for the self-checkout screen is inaccessible to me. I'm constantly searching for an accommodation and it's frustrating. I miss conversation, says one quote. And many, many, many more. I could go on for a whole other hour talking about these quotes and the things that people lament, but it's mostly not having access to communication, staff not having enough quality training to be able to communicate with the patients and clients. That's a great challenge. So the conclusion here is that we see the same parallel in the aging population and in the vision and hearing loss population. We seriously have limited access and services for those who are losing their sight and their vision, and it needs to be improved for certain. Our next step, we got 50 emails saying they were interested in being in focus groups. So we'll be working on developing some more specific questions for focus groups coming soon. And the information in preliminary findings shows that the research is going to be much more expansive than we thought, and it definitely will be published and able to be disseminated on a national level. That will be the goal, is to partner with an organization on the national level so that it can be published and disseminated. That's our big challenge right now. So that pretty much does it all. If you have any questions, it'd be a good time to speak. If you know older adults who have vision and hearing loss, you have questions you want to ask about that, you may. If you have questions about the surveys, about the need of services that we saw a lack of at HKNC in the older adult population programs. Those programs are coordinated by.
Right.
So this is Lori, and if I can just ask you to describe a little more about what the National Center uses as their guidelines for services, because as you said in one of your quotes, you know, very often
the Competence Living Program, the CLP, that's the guide that we use for our services.
Mm-hmm. So can you speak more about the level of functioning, vision and hearing loss that you may see in somebody who would participate in that program and maybe speak a little more about that program?
The level of functioning of a person who would participate in CLP?
Yes.
But a person who in CLP, their functioning can function, need a little bit of poor function. How much can the function?
You're doing what my Lady A sometimes does.
Lori,
whispering.
You need to mute, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Please mute.
This is Lori. That was not me speaking.
Yes, the question
no, it was
is
the
for,
other Lori. You're
right.
Fine.
The question is for the level of hearing or vision loss someone needs to have to be in the program?
Yes.
Right. Person qualified for in the program. Yes. Okay, sure. So now I'm explaining the CLP program. The Confident Living Program. Where we first recruit people who are interested and we evaluate each individual and their level of hearing and loss and vision loss. And we group people who have similar vision and degrees of vision and hearing loss. So it could be someone who has mild hearing loss to profound hearing loss or mild to severe blindness. But for the CLP, it's a peer support group. So we make sure that the group is balanced, where people have the same level of functioning and vision and hearing loss per cohort. So that's the CLP that we're developing. So for example, if we have a new group or people who are new to hearing loss, but they have been blind or low vision for a considerable part of their life and they're familiar with their how to live with vision loss, then that group would be more focused on the hearing loss part and how to and addressing particular questions about perhaps hearing aids or amplification, communication, questions related to assistive technologies that are particular to hearing loss. So it really, each group is different depending on the needs of the people who are in the group. It's really focused on four primary things: communication and improving communication overall, improving mobility, and improving assistive technology skills, and the last being independent living. And so pretty much very similar to rehabilitation services that someone would receive, but much more focused on accommodating their level of hearing and vision loss. So I think that pretty much sums up the CLP. Mm-hmm. And again, that CLP program can provide remote services on Zoom. We also can go to a person's home state and provide services there. We can also gather people to come to our headquarters in New York. So for usually a day for a week-long program, depending on funding and availability and the accommodations that would be needed, and as well as all the logistics, we truly try to accommodate the agenda for what the group needs. With the CLP, we've been offering this for quite some time. And that's pretty much my presentation. So thank you very much. And I'm open to questions.
All right. Mervin, do we have any raised hands?
Yes, we do. The first one is area code 413, ending in 329.
413 is me, Lori, L-O-R-I.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lori.
Okay. I was told to be muted before.
I was. Yes, anyway, I told you. Yes.
Yeah, I know. I heard you. I'm sorry if I was unmuted, but anyway, the State Commission for the Blind in my state of Massachusetts, when they evaluated me in 1970, and of course I was young then, and I'm 61 now, they did not classify me as deafblind, which I thought was strange because at 5 months old, I was diagnosed with hydrocephalus, which now the articles I read say that it caused my legal blindness, which is now total blindness, except for light perception. And also, it could have caused my mild to moderate hearing loss, which I did not get treated until I was 38. And I wore hearing aids until probably 58, because my insurance stopped covering hearing aid. I needed only one hearing aid for one ear. And my former audiologist told me that in time, I might need two hearing aids. And if that's the case, just go with it, because your hearing gets worse instead of better. When you ask a person to come to your facility, do you test the hearing in a soundproof booth, or do you do it in an open area? Meaning, like, I had my hearing tested in my apartment, and I picked up every sound through the audiologist system. And he told me I needed two hearing aids, and that's because I was not in a soundproof booth. So is that the way you test someone's hearing?
Okay, so this is a great question. And at the Helen Keller National Center, we have a great audiologist and great audiology services who are very, very, very knowledgeable with people who also have vision loss that is also co-occurring with someone's hearing loss. If you came to our headquarters, then you could be tested with our audiology services there and make sure that you are properly screened with the right questions and be suited with the appropriate hearing aids. But I can share my email information and we can connect, and I can connect you as well with our audiologist where you can ask more questions how you might be able to receive our services.
Okay, my other question was, when you test someone's vision, do you, again, do it with your own audiologist that's there, or do you send the client to his own audiologist, ophthalmologist, rather, for vision screening? Do you, because I have a glaucoma surgeon that I go to, and he has diagnosed me with end stage glaucoma and end stage RP. So how do you evaluate that at your center?
Okay, another wonderful question. Typically, we gather applications and we'll ask for medical information. Of course, we keep it confidential. And we look at your previous diagnoses so that when you come here, we have audiologists here and we also have ophthalmologists as well as low vision specialists who would then be able to evaluate your vision and see what kind of low vision aids, glasses, or other accommodations might be best suited for you. And so we do have all of these services available at headquarters, yes.
Well, I can't read visually anymore. My vision is totally gone, except for light perception. I can't see anything on my TV screen. I can't see anything on my iPhone screen. I use a scanner to read with, and I also use my iPhone to read out loud with speech. And I can't even recognize my environment. I only know where I'm at because of memory and mobility training. So if I went to a low vision specialist, I don't think his training for AIDS would help me at all, just so you know, because I've gone to low vision specialists when I had vision And some of the aids helped and some of them didn't. But right now, if I went to an LV specialist, it would not help me at all. And no offense, but Lori, I would not be able to use them, and they would not be of any benefit.
Lori, Janae will give out her email at the end. We're going to go on to the next person. Thank you.
Okay, that's fine.
Sharon is next.
Good afternoon. I was just interested to know how long the usual stay would be at the residential center, and is the funding primarily through a commission for the blind or through a commission for the deaf and hard of hearing?
Okay, good question. So specifically what you might be looking for, as Helen Keller, as I mentioned, provides a variety of services. If you want to connect with job readiness programs, but perhaps within independent living, we do have a specific program and we have a timeline to best suit you. But if it's nothing related to your job, but something more about training to have independent living skills, then CLP would be most beneficial. So I coordinate the CLP program, which is about a week. So that would be a week-long program. And if more time is needed, more services are needed, then we would work with the State Commission of the Blind to then figure out how to provide additional services that would be needed and have those maintained over time.
It seems to me that a week is a very minimal amount of time, especially for somebody having two senses that are impacted. That's surprising to me.
I know. Yes, I agree with you that 1 week is definitely not a long enough period of time. I'm losing the interpreter as more people are raising their hand and it comes up on screen. Yes, I agree that it is not really enough time. And as I mentioned earlier in my presentation, the older adult population is definitely underserved because there is not enough funding and support resources available. And this is the best we can do, is just this 1 week. At the same time, we would connect you to our regional representatives who then can figure out what were the best resources that might be available for you in your local state. And then we can work together and collaborate to develop an appropriate plan for you or whoever would need services in their individual state to maintain independence.
Thank you, Sharon.
Any other questions?
Deborah is next.
Thank you. Hello, I am very sorry that I missed the first 15 minutes of your presentation, and what I heard was very interesting. So if you already answered my questions, I apologize, but I will ask them. I have two short questions. One is, do you provide instruction in ProTactile for people who are, I'm completely blind and I have a profound hearing loss in both ears. So I speak and I, with hearing aids, I'm able to communicate orally, but so I never learned ASL, but I'm very, very interested in ProTactile. So that's one question. And the other is, what is the wait list typically for older adults coming in to your program? The timing. Thank you.
Okay.
Great question. Thank you.
Great question. Yes. And so for learning ProTactile Sign Language, yes, I have to say I love ProTactile Sign Language. I think it's very interesting. And we're very much supportive of every a variety of different communication methods, whatever would be best for you. Helen Keller doesn't officially teach ProTactile, even though some of our staff use ProTactile Sign Language, but we don't have official courses. So what we would then do, if you emailed us, we would connect you then to a PT trainer, ProTactile trainer, who's in your area. But I think that would help if you learned more ASL overall, which would then help you with your ProTactile signing. But that's great that you're motivated to learn ProTactile. And then we're going to switch the interpreters for your second question.
Okay, thank you.
My second question, what is the typical wait time?
Deborah, just a second, you're switching interpreters.
There's no wait time.
Okay, they're there.
Once that person is ready, they need to fill out the application and we're ready to provide services to the person.
All right.
Sandra is next.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there an official interpretation definition of what deafblind is? I live in Massachusetts and I have asked different people at my state commission and they debate about it and they have no idea.
Well, oh, sorry. Okay, great question. Great question. Unfortunately, there is no clear definition of what deafblind is. That is another barrier to receiving services. Unfortunately, what is deafblind and what has to be satisfied to get those services, and where is the money coming from? So that is one thing that has to be resolved definitely, is what is the definition of deafblind and how does one satisfy that?
So this is Megan Conway. Can I jump in on that one, Janae? Would it be okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Elaborate mm-hmm. a little bit. Okay. So this is Megan Conway, and I am the director of information research and professional development at Helen Keller National Center. I consider myself to be deafblind. I am blind and hard of hearing. And there are some, Janae is absolutely correct that there is no universal definition of what deafblindness is. At the Helen Keller National Center, we do use a definition that's part of the Helen Keller Act, which is an act of Congress that provides a lot of our funding. So there is an official definition that talks about degree of vision loss, degree of hearing loss, level of functioning. But quite honestly, we serve people beyond that definition because we recognize that any level, really, of combined hearing and vision loss impacts somebody more than just the individual blindness or deafness alone. So someone who is blind and is even has a mild hearing loss is going to have a significant impact on their ability to function as a blind person, as well as just a person in general. So we really do try to serve as many people as possible who have combined vision and hearing loss, anywhere from, again, somebody with the more mild loss to folks that might have be completely deaf and blind, and many combinations thereof. But it is, like Janae said, it's a real barrier that there's not a recognition about really how, about how being, quote, deafblind can also mean having dual sensory loss in, milder degrees. Again, we have an official definition that we use because it's tied in with funding, but we really try to serve a broader population of people with a variety of degrees of sensory loss.
And this is Lori. If I could just add that the SASE, the Sight and Sound Impaired Committee of ACB, has in their podcast feed with ACB a presentation that the audiologist from Helen Keller National Center did. I think it was last year or the year before.
Last summer.
Thank you, Karen. So people may want to seek that out as an additional resource.
You said that's a podcast already?
Yes,
it was. Uh-huh. It was part
last
of the 20
convention.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It is 9 minutes before the hour.
Any more hands, Mervyn?
Yes. Okay. 650 ending in 155.
I usually get somebody else telling them who I am. I got my phone number. This is Roger Peterson from California. And,
Can't hear him.
Roger Peterson from California.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
And first of all, I just want to say, what do you do with someone like me? Whose son is more than 55 years old. But anyway, I am deaf. I'm totally blind and have become more hearing impaired as I grew older. But my primary question is, what's the status of the program that I participated in some years ago where the states have money to provide for people who have hearing and vision impairment, and it's still the state agencies that you go to for that. And
pardon me, for the interpreter, I apologize. Can someone please ask them to hold and repeat the question so that we can hear it? I can't understand the phone.
Okay. Can you repeat your question, please, or get closer to the mic, because we cannot hear you very well or understand very well.
Oh, really? I wonder if there's something wrong with my phone. I want to know if the program still exists that was under the Communications Act and therefore handled by FCC and goes through the states that provides equipment for hearing and vision impaired people, and if I can go back again and say, I need a new computer or something.
Okay.
This is Deborah. I think Roger is asking if the ICANN Connect program, the National Deafblind Equipment Distribution Program, is still active. And the answer is yes, it very much is.
Thank you, Deborah. I did not get it either. Thank you. Thank you, Roger.
Yep, and this is Janae. If you want more information about the ICC in your state, we can certainly connect you with a person there, an ICC worker, if you would like, if you're interested in getting new equipment, okay? Yes, and we still have it. That program is alive and well.
Thank you. Mervyn, any more hands?
Yes.
Okay.
217 ending in 735.
Hello, it's Ray Campbell speaking to you. Just curious to try and deal with the people being underserved. Have you considered, or do you work with state rehabilitation programs that may have older individuals who are blind funding that they can and work with them to try and better serve some of the populations in various states?
Yes, this is Janae, and we do work with OIB in each state. The CLP, the Confidence Living Program, We also coordinate state OIBs. And we figure out and figure out how they can be referred through there to us. So we definitely work with IOBs. But you're right, the money is limited, and there just isn't enough funding for us to provide all services.
Yeah. I was just going to say the funding is pitiful.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ray.
Can I, this is Doug. Can I jump in on that one?
Yeah.
I would like to know from Janae or from Megan, we're working hard to try to influence the Older Americans Act reauthorization to add language for vision impaired, blind vision impaired, low vision, and hearing impaired and deaf blind. Into the act so that we can get more, we are eligible for more funding at the local AAA, the Area Agency on Aging level. Do you have somebody working on advocacy at the Helen Keller National Center that we could coordinate with?
This is Janae, and yes, you can contact me. I'm happy to also get you to work with Megan as well to get that documented, of course. I mean, yeah, absolutely can.
Mm-hmm. We have one more hand, and then we're...
Yes. Okay. 505, ending in 638. Annie, lowered your hand.
Yes, this is Beth from New Mexico, and I'm visually impaired, but as I grow older, I have a little bit of mild hearing loss, and I don't live with anyone, and it's almost impossible to get help to any place in my state. Is the only way I could reach out to you through, I would have been interested in taking that survey, but is the only way I could reach out to you is through email?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Everyone.
Beth, just a minute.
Everyone is welcome to email J A L L E M A N at H. I'm sorry, at helenkeller.org.
That's what I'm saying, but you don't provide a phone number for people to be able to reach out to you?
Oh, yes. The phone number as well, if you're ready, is 516-441-0272.
Thank you very, very much.
Of course. Thank you, everyone, for attending and being here, right, sharing this time together.
Doug, you want to say some last comments?
Programs. And as I mentioned earlier, any collaborations or opportunities, more local questions about things provided in your locality, we are here to support all of you. Please contact us. And thank you so much.
Doug?
Hello, I had my hand raised and somebody lowered it.
I'm sorry, we have run out of time, so I'm sorry we're not going to be able to take your question. Did you hear the email address and the phone number so that you can contact Helen Keller National Center independently?
I will put that email on the Saucy and AAVL list.
Good.
Okay. I mean, I want to thank everybody, the interpreters, the and the presenter and Megan and Karen and Lori and you for all putting this all together. Thanks to Mervyn for hosting, and I'm sorry I've forgotten who was on the clubhouse and the streaming.
Nikki.
But thanks everybody, and thank you everybody for coming with very good questions. We'll do something. My understanding was that the research that I've forgotten your name, the presenter.
Janae,
I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Janae has told us about some of the survey, the raw results, some of the summary results. And as they assess it further, we were thinking of having another call as they get more inferences from the survey to pass on to you guys.
Probably in August, September. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, for sure. Uh-huh. Yes, definitely.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Mervyn.
Thank you. And thank you from Saturday.